ESA, it's full of engineers, scientists. If there's a problem, something broken, everybody wants to fix it. Doesn't matter who made the mistake or whatever. It's actually good to speak up so we know what happened. And seeing people interact together and seeing this magic of, oh wow, you're doing that? Me too. Let's do it together, like joining forces.
ITCS, Pizza Time Podcast. Cheesy questions and juicy answers for the tech community.
Hallo und herzlich willkommen zurück zum ITCS Pizza Time Tech Podcast. Bevor ihr euch zu sehr an mein Deutschsprechen gewöhnt, warne ich euch jetzt schon mal vor, diese Folge wird auf Englisch sein. Es wird unsere erste englische Folge, ein Special mit einem ganz special Menschen. Und ich freue mich schon sehr darauf. Wie gesagt, vielleicht werden wir auch noch mal ein paar andere Folgen in Englisch machen. Wir werden es sehen, aber ansonsten wünsche ich euch jetzt erstmal viel Spaß dabei. Hi, Red.
Hello. Thanks for the intro.
You're very welcome. Thanks for being here. Do you just want to introduce yourself before I talk too much about you? You can just say, who are you? What do you do?
Yeah, right, right. So I came to Germany like to work at the European Space Agency, just to say that, you know, like this is people sometimes say, oh, this is the space guy.
Just to make people be impressed with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, maybe. But when you're in a space agency, you're just like normal staff, you know. You know, before that, I was working in the satellite industry. Mm-hmm. And it was nice to go from, you know, the front stage where you actually use the images. You see Earth from the top. And then the backstage, which is operations.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like we're in Frankfurt now and like 30 minutes train. From here, you have Darmstadt, that everybody knows, the IT city somehow. And you have the European Space Agency Operations Center. So that's operations. Everything happens there. That was fun. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I can tell more if you want.
You can just tell, what are you doing right now? Like, maybe we want to talk about Parametry AI, which is your little baby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, this is my second baby. I have a real biological one. Yeah, this is my space startup. So I didn't like really want to make a startup right away when I was at ESA. The thing is that I already had like startup projects, you know, in the past, which, you know, some failed, some were successful in 20 years, so I had to stop. You see what I mean? But that was an enormous learning. So doing a new startup was like, I'm not doing it without, you know, starting on a cushion of money a bit.
Yeah,
you know? So
yeah,
you can
definitely
hire people, you can build a team, et cetera, et cetera. So in order to reach that point, you need to work it out, you know, and it depends. So, you know, there's no real learning, but, you know, work it out.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's an issue a lot of people have with startups. They want to start something, but they don't have the funds to do it. But before we go more into that, I just have to ask you the most important question of this podcast, and that is, what is your favorite pizza?
All right. So I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, when I'm at the shop, I'm always like choosing the salami one. But actually, my favorite one is the quattro formaggi.
Oh,
you know, so
like,
because I like this gorgonzola in the mix of the others. So I'm like, ah, this is excellent. But I haven't found like good ones here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe
it's hard, you know. I'm French. I'm French.
You're
so,
French.
Yeah. So my gastronomy
cheese
level.
My brain just goes from French to cheese.
Right, yeah.
Because, oh my God, I love French cheese so much. And I'm always so sad when I'm in a hotel and the hotel breakfast, they only have like a slice of Gouda or something and just that. And not just, you know, some wonderful French cheese.
What it makes it wonderful, you know, I can tell you maybe my two cents, that actually the taste, you know, like they do not hesitate to be strong. When in Germany, like you have those cheeses that are super happy to say they are mild.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what the heck?
We don't want mild cheese.
Right, right.
Yeah, I love Saint-Albrecht, if you know.
Oh, yeah. Saint-Albrecht is good. Yeah. That's the only one you find here, actually.
Yeah, it's my favorite cheese. Like, since I was a child, I ate it. And everyone was always very confused for like, that isn't a child's cheese. But, well. Okay, less about cheese, more about you, more about what you actually do.
Yeah.
So you're French. And when did you come to Germany?
It was like 2016. Where I joined the European Space Agency in Darmstadt. I stayed there for 3 years. I had a postdoc contract for 2 years, so a research fellowship, so meaning I had a PhD and then I continued on a research topic. And that was AI in space operations. That was amazing. I mean, that was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So I did quite some contributions, but also like involved operators to use AI. You know,
I mean, AI and space sounds...
That sounds fancy. Sounds fancy, right?
Especially for 2015.
Yeah, indeed, that's a good point. So when I arrived, you know, everybody codes in Python today. It's like R or whatever. And at the time, I was like, sorry, I was talking to my team. Guys, I know you do everything in Java, but can I do things in Python now? Or like, can I show you what we can do? Because they're like, we don't really do that. You know, like nobody will maintain it. It's like, let me show you. So when they saw that in three lines, you could do those 1,000 lines they were doing in Java, they were like, damn, we should have a look, you know, more closely. It went from there. And I guess that was the time of this platform, which does like home of data science contests, which was called Kaggle.com. It still exists. Kaggle.com, Kaggle.com. And the thing is that we wanted to do our own competition, you know, like the rational when I was there is like, if I'm the only one like coding in Python and my colleagues, they were like expert computer scientists, so they already knew about it and quickly jumped on it. Then we wanted to do an open data competition, so a machine learning competition. So we actually reached out to the Mars Express team, and we opened data from a spacecraft, which is orbiting Mars, which is there. In 2016, that was the first data set in this, and 8 years later, it's still used for AI projects. It's pretty fun.
That's really cool. Yeah. Were you always interested in space, or how did you come to... love that topic.
Yeah, right. I was always like, before joining ESA, I wanted to be an astronaut. After, I didn't want anymore. I mean, everything is fine, but it's just that if you think about the International Space Station, which where you end up as an astronaut in the end, or the moon, which nobody goes where it was going to, you know, and now it's getting closer. But the International Space Station, like, let's think about it, about your bedroom. You can't open the window off for 15 years.
That's a long time.
Yeah, yeah. So imagine every sense, you know, like smells you bring Jesus. There might not go away.
Oh, no. That's not good.
So, yeah, and the noise, and, you know, you have to sleep in the noise. You have a life system that runs all the time, and you're in space, you know.
Like, there's no turning back right now. You can't just go home.
Yeah, I guess the closest is diving, you know, when you dive. You are like in the depth of the ocean. You don't even see the top of the surface. And you're like, oh, I have a problem. I need to get up. No, you can't. It's just by the physics, you can't.
Yeah. I always like to compare space actually to like the deep sea and stuff, because there's not much really researched, or not enough research, or there's so much still to research. And it's not a place where you can just easily go.
Yeah,
you need special equipment to actually go there. And...
oh, that's fantastic, yeah. And it's the other frontier, you know, like the deep seas. And then, yeah. I mean, I have a kid, so we are listening to other podcasts about, you know, like listening to real stories. Actually, I didn't know those podcasts were serious. They were talking about the giant squid discovery. It was actually real. And my son was like, you know, he's 4 years old and he's telling you, Tsunemi Komodera. It's like, who is this guy? And actually, it's a real scientist that found the giant squid in collaboration with an American team. And actually, by trying to search for the squid, they discovered other things like a huge shark, which certainly be 300-year-old sharks in the deep sea. So I guess we barely know what we have under the sea.
I'm always like, we don't know if there's mermaids. We don't know the everything about the deep sea. Who knows?
You're right.
Maybe not the Ariel mermaid, but more of a creepier version. I don't know, a deep sea version of mermaids. I don't know.
And I guess the relation with space is the curiosity it brings. You know,
definitely.
And that's crazy.
So the space, unknown.
Yeah. So deep seas, you know, you have the limit of the deep ground, you know.
Yeah.
But in space, you don't have that. So it's even crazy, right?
Yeah. That's really crazy. Yeah. You said you did quite a few startups before you tried stuff out.
Yeah.
But how... especially did you came up with the idea of Parametry AI? What made you do that, and how did it work? How did it happen?
Yeah, right. So when I was at ESA, it was mostly like very technical topics, but also it was tied to how do you transform a big institution into using a new technology. You know, I have to understand when I was there, when I was mentioning machine learning, they were saying, that's voodoo magic. So when we did that competition, you had people from, you know, high frequency trading or supermarket logistics who were beating the operators at their game. So thanks to machine learning. So people were like wondering, like, I guess we should use machine learning. Mm-hmm. I guess that was a good turn in events, because I was thinking if I do that alone, I would just be the crazy red guy who's doing those things, and it's only working for him. But no, with the competition, it was a better effect. So I wanted to work in AI for operations in the end, but it's a very narrow market in the end. So although everything depends on it, you know, everything which is above our head, you know, could fall down if we didn't have like operations. So. Yeah. So the question is that on your house or my house? That's the question. It's still remaining today. But then I had to engage in communities internally. So technical communities, that was fantastic. And seeing people interact together and seeing this magic of, oh, wow, you're doing that? Me too. Let's do it together. Like joining forces. Everybody was talking about double work that was done in those institutions. Actually triple, quadruple work. That's how it works. When you bring humans together, start to have departments, pyramids everywhere, subgroups and subgroups. They don't talk to each other, so that happens. But they need the same thing. Everybody uses a computer. Everybody has numbers to crunch. And that's the thing, yeah. So, yeah, I did a lot of community work. So I joined this technical aspect with really understanding the people in the end. Growing my empathy, I guess, at this moment. My advisor was fantastic at this stage. He was practicing ego-less activities and trying to reduce the ego we have in things and, in our, of course, in ourselves, but really thinking, am I thinking correctly or are the other righter than me? You know, like, I guess you have to give a chance to
kind of be open also to other people's opinions and, and maybe views. And
Yeah. In this institution, you have so many. So it's crazy. And also the first thing is that when you have an idea, the natural thinking is, okay, I have this idea. I'm the only one. I need to do it. You know, well, it's totally wrong. Like our brain works the same as everybody else here. So if you can find people who are stimulated the same as you, and that's often the case, then they have the same ideas. And often they already executed it. So meaning that you can actually join forces depending on the type of project or, you know, get inspired.
Yeah.
That's always good. But then getting too good at bringing people together, I got pushed to the European Central Bank, where they needed to make a machine learning community. That was fun, you know. That was fun, but, you know, I don't really recommend the banking system.
I get that.
I mean, ESA, it's full of engineers, scientists. In operations, mostly like a lot of engineers. So if there's a problem, something broken, everybody wants to fix it. Doesn't matter who made the mistake or whatever. It's actually good to speak up so we know what happened.
Yeah.
So actually kind of socially rewarded to say, I did that problem, you know,
I created that problem. I made a mistake. Exactly. How do we fix that together?
So it's like, tell us more. How did you make the mistake, et cetera. So, okay, now we know how to fix it. While in the bank, it was totally different. I don't know exactly how to mention it, but it was more like there is an issue. First, we don't tell anyone. Second, we try to solve it ourselves so we can collect the glory of solving it. But then nothing gets solved because nobody there knows there is an issue, but something is not working, but you can't really say what.
It's like being afraid of making mistakes and being afraid if people find out you are actually a person that can make mistakes like everyone else.
It's kind of risk aversion, but I mean, it's everywhere. But So I went there and actually it was funny, like, it's like these, those marketing tips, you know, like trying to find the early adopters when you create a machine learning community or any kind of community. You wanna work with those people that are open about the topic. They want to go further. So I started to bring people together. Very quickly, we were like 30, 40. I remember we had a meeting with my supervisors at the time. And I was like, right, can you slow down? I was like, wait. For now, it looks like a department meeting, not a community meeting. So I don't know what you mean by that. I understood there were like some kind of tensions with IT, and it's okay, you know, when you must understand what this technology is. You know, for me it was for somebody using Excel. You can't tell that person, don't use that.
just stop.
I will do it for you. I was like, well, what's my job then? So it was kind of weird. So I was trying to downgrade the edification of machine learning and to something which is just useful if you, you know, think smart about those things, etc. And then it wasn't really about what I was doing. It was about all the people, what they were doing. So showing to each other, because I wasn't a banker or an economist or, you know, whoever is in the researching in this institution, which is made of amazing people, actually. And the thing is that they showed to each other, and my role was a facilitator. They showed to each other that they could use machine learning and achieve great goals and inspired each other, because when one was using machine learning on data that others had the same kind of data, they were like, hey, why not me? I was like, okay, yeah. And then it grew. And so I stayed for a year and a half to 250 people in the community, really actively like joining the meetings and responding, talking to everybody. And that changed everything, you know, like in terms of what people can do, what tools you can use. And for this institution, which is like number driven, it's super important, I guess. Yeah,
no, definitely.
Yeah. But then didn't want to stay.
You didn't want to stay. You didn't want to stay. The entrepreneurship in your heart took over and you were like, okay, I want to do more. I want to do.
Yeah.
And it's also something like, we know each other for a while now and we always have issues with talking too much when we should be talking about other stuff, because mm-hmm. we just like to talk about humans and brains and all of that and empathy and stuff.
Yeah.
And you have a mission. You feel like you want to contribute to the world, maybe change it for the better, do stuff. And that's something that you do with Parametry, or that you want to do with Parametry.
Yeah, that would be lovely. But you know, like my ego reduction breaks me from saying that.
Yeah.
The thing
is, this is why I'm saying it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So trying to do it by the facts somehow. So that would be easier. And you know, like at the bank, after doing the community, I had the opportunity to go to governance and transformation services, which was higher in the bank. And it was another discovery for me, like the more political things and governance aspects, which was super interesting. And this group was really more eclectic. So of people like seasoned professionals from other industries. Then I started with Parametry. I wanted to do, you know, I was really interested in blockchain at the time. I even had a project at the bank, which was machine learning based analysis of the crypto phenomena. And that was one fantastic. So by doing that, I was also discovering the technologies of different blockchains, different things they bring. I was like, I need to use the blockchain for space. It's not possible. It's like, space is an amazing green field where you have like multi-governmental stakeholders. They need to trust each other in a trustless manner, you know. So yeah. Like blockchain is perfect. You know, I needed to find really what was the right application. And I had the chance to find a research position at the University of Strathclyde. Which I could not really take because it was in UK, you know. Now it was like, unfortunately, it's not Europe. So I had to move there, have a bank account there. And it was only 9 months. I was like, no, I'm not doing that only for 9 months. So I don't know what's going to happen next. And the opportunity was that, you know, like there was a bucket of money to do that project, which was a blockchain for space mission design. It's a research project. And I could just create my own entity and do that. So that's how Parametry AI started. So we actually started with that. So it's parametry.ai. So everybody asks me like, why do you have the .ai? Because I have those islands, Anguilla Islands. But actually, okay, artificial intelligence. Okay, I wanted to get there anyway. So whenever I was you know, working at ESA or the European Central Bank, I had also another activity on open source software. It was an open source tool to analyze telemetry of satellites. You know, satellites like 40,000 telemetry. You can't, as a brain, you can't process all that. So you need the computer to help you. And I wanted to commercialize that a bit. So to see how I can find a business model around this. It's still work in progress. Because other things keep me busy. But so I worked on the blockchain project at the University of Strathclyde. And then we jumped on another one, which is what I'm still on today, which is amazing. And that's, I guess, the big impact thing, which is called SpaceDAO. It's about decentralizing the organization of the orbit. So we send things in orbit, which are resources. You know, like, and you might know about the Starlink constellation, you know, launched by SpaceX, Elon Musk. And today it's more than 6,000 satellites. You know, so the population of satellites they have is almost 2/3 of all the active satellites. So, but why do we have that? So from one stakeholder, we have that because we're not sharing resources. So meaning that if you need your own network, then what do? You launch your own constellations. And that's what's happening. You have one web, another constellation, which was started in Europe. Now, I don't know why this is. This is too complicated for me, like between shared, sold to Eutelsat or whatever. And now it's, I guess it's Airbus US, which has it. But then you have Kuiper from Amazon raising as well. So we are just going to have constellations over constellations, which, you know, I always wonder, if you're an alien, you're coming to Earth, okay? Not really, yeah. You're reaching Earth, you're like, hey, get closer. I want to sense what's there. You scan, you know, like in 1 second, you have all the scans of all the things around the Earth, and you have their trajectories and everything, because you want to know how you pass through. And you're like, damn, this is a mess. Those guys are so stupid.
Yeah, probably.
Let's not even use stealth mode, you know?
They don't even have to come to Earth to realize we're stupid.
Exactly, okay. Okay. So space traffic is a big issue. Mm-hmm. So meaning that now today it's about 400 alerts every day of what we call conjunctions. So satellites coming very close to each other. Yeah, the problem in space, you know, like if you have a satellite, I have a satellite, you know, from different small constellations. Let's say you have 10, I have 8, something like that. And we're doing business with the satellites. So meaning that they are on spot somewhere, they have a position, a trajectory, and they are pointing to a specific place. And then we're entering collision on our courses in orbits, potential collisions. And so we're calling each other, and I'm like, oh, Leonie, could you move? And of course you'd be like, no. No, why?
Why should I?
Why should I? For the alert. And you're like, yeah, I received it. Like, could you move? And I would be like, no. Don't want to do that. So nobody wants to move. That's an issue.
Yeah.
All right. So, of course, there are like diplomatic reasons that you have to move. And pretty much like we studied like the reasons why people move or things move. And I guess the best model you could have is random. The random model. So the thing is that we want to build incentives for people to actually behave correctly, operators to behave correctly in orbit. So we're building SpaceDAO STM for space traffic management, where it's a decentralized application where you can see trajectories. But the first thing is the pieces of information that actually push us to have this phone call, we have to verify it first. Because maybe we don't need to even call each other, you know? That's the thing, because there's so much uncertainty about predicting trajectories like 7 days, 3 days in advance, that at the end, we're not even colliding and everything is safe. But the thing is that there's so much uncertainty that if the information is like we're crossing each other 400 meters, it's too small, you know, space is wide, so we need to increase that distance.
Yeah.
We're just managing risk in the end, you know.
Just think it's so fascinating that people, because space is just such a different kind of realm where people start to fight again. Like, yeah. We don't even have to be on Earth to fight and to kind of have issues, and everyone wants to be the one person that has the most control in parentheses about like space, but nobody can really, like.
Yeah,
right. It's interesting.
And actually, it's called a domain, you know, like the cybersecurity is a cyber domain. So that's where you have attacks. It's another world where you have wars and we don't even see them.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. And space is pretty much the same, becoming the same. So you have tensions happening in space, and, you know, the impact of parametry.ai is how we're trying to reduce those tensions by creating the business incentives. And when I say business, I'm referring to the business language, you know, like, which is international. You could be Chinese, you could be Russian, you could be Japanese or North Korean or whoever. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have business incentives, you know, it's different, you know.
Yeah.
You don't need to speak English or anything. The numbers would speak. So we're trying to build those business incentives for people to interact correctly. Mm-hmm. You know, more than just, you know, find a nice behavior, which we can't really know in advance, you know. And that's the rationale. So we don't know how to manage all this. Nobody knows really how to manage all this. Yeah. Nobody knows what the rules of space and the rules of the way. Do you pass first because you come from the right?
Yeah, exactly.
What's right in space, you know? What's left? You don't know. So we are trying to build a DAO. So that's why we have a DAO, Space DAO. DAO, D-A-O, stands for Decentralized Autonomous Organization, so that we actually build the rules as we go.
Mm-hmm.
And we just here as Parametry and the University of Strathclyde trying to build the first set of rules. Now we joined an NGO, which is super cool, which is called Cosmos for Humanity, because we have this challenge for neutrality.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a Parametry.ai project anymore. It's
it's bigger.
It's a humanity project.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
That's very cool. I think it's an issue that, I mean, maybe not a lot of people really think about, because we have people that love space, for sure, they have some sense of it and know that there's stuff happening that isn't regulated at all. But other people feel like, oh, space, whatever. They don't really know what's going on. up there and how much is going on up there, and that there need to be rules or regulations or something.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have a, you know, implicit effect, you know, when your TV doesn't work correctly and using a satellite TV.
Yeah, true.
The internet doesn't work correctly and you're in a remote place. You know, most of the islands on Earth, they have a cable. You have maritime cables coming to you. So, but they are, you know, subject to shock bites or, you know, whatever could happen. Those cables are huge, but they could be beaten. It's optical fiber. Everything goes super fast. But when you don't have that, there is a backup which goes through satellite network.
Imagine you don't have internet because a shark bit a cable.
Yeah, it happens a lot.
That's so funny in a way. Oh my God.
Yeah, and okay. You have the Red Sea issues as well, you know, like the Red Sea where you have a lot of tensions, where you have like very important internet cables that connects Asia to Europe, for instance. Mm-hmm. And you have to use internet really from space, you know, in order to do that. As a user, you would just see the internet going down a bit and, you know, those kind of things. Or your GPS not working correctly. And then at some point, you know, GPS has also these atomic clocks, which is used by many to just have a right timing. And timing is super important in internet. You send a request, you want it to arrive now, not tomorrow or in an hour, you know, something like that. Or not being processed
it's
because
not a
it was
letter.
In the past.
Yeah, sending. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's not the German administration.
Well, the... Or the barn. Or something like that. It's so interesting. If I were to look into your everyday life, like what do you do? What are your projects maybe? What are you doing when you wake up and how do you end your day?
Yeah, right. So wake up first. I'm trying to, you know, take care of family, those kind of things. Super nice to start the day, like knowing that they went on a good foot to their own days. Yeah. I actually feel good about that. Also, you know, I have plants and I realized that I wasn't really taking care of them. So in the morning, I'm trying to look at them a bit, like what's happening, you know, even if I was doing that a bit in the weekend, but it was starting to be just like, I have to water that and that's it.
Yeah.
But no, you know, there's a plant which is like, I've been living with it for 25 years. We don't even realize it's more than my wife, you know. And they give back certainly like in many different ways, and we could digress in many ways. But also like the fact of just doing that is actually slow down the brain and, you know, meditate a bit somehow. So whatever your thing is, actually it's a good thing to actually slow down in the morning. Yeah. You know, people take a coffee or whatever, actually take a herbal tea. You know? So because like, when you have to plan your day and your week and next week, it's easier to be relaxed when you do that. So beginning of my day starts, you know, reviewing what I plan to do or plan it. That's the first thing. I have this good friend, so Ivan, which is part of the team in Parametry AI, who's a mentor and coach for businesses around business values oriented. And we had this discussion about the shoebox. You have so many things to do that you put things in shoeboxes and you open only one at once.
Yeah, yeah.
People are talking about procrastination.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it doesn't really exist. Like, it's just you have a task, then you're doing another, but not that task. You're procrastinating vis-a-vis the first task.
Yeah, exactly. You're just procrastinating this thing and not the other. You're doing the other to not do this.
Exactly. Yeah. And even if you don't have that many shoeboxes, you're actually playing video games, for instance, but it's actually useful for building up your creativity or, you know, slowing down your brain in other ways or fastening it in other ways. And everything is kind of useful, of course, with the normal doses.
Exactly. Not too much of anything.
Yeah, right. But yeah, then I start to work. So usually when I want to have a coding day, avoid my emails.
Mm-hmm.
I avoid LinkedIn. I avoid those things. And I can be very focused and just code the whole day somehow. Mm-hmm. Like at some point I arrive, it's in the middle afternoon. I'm like, somebody's calling me. Did you get my email? I was waiting for you. It's like, oh no. And it's like, I realized I didn't turn up my emails.
Did you eat? Did you drink?
Yeah. Sometimes I don't lunch, but that's okay. You know, like I guess, you know, society is eating three times a day, but I don't think we need to. That's the thing, right? And then I have international relations. So sometimes you have to stay up at night to connect with the US, the other side of the Atlantic, Argentina, or other places. You have to wake up early if you want to connect to Singapore or Japan or those kind of places, unless people are making late meetings with you. But that's a good feeling, you know, a feeling like this is global. You know, that's nice. Yeah. But in other ways, the Space Dog Project is a very impactful project. The finding customers for us is really like building dashboards to understand what's happening on the blockchain network. So to give this added value. this doesn't come in a day. So we focused and diversified also like on another product, which is not something new for us. So which is a cloud infrastructure. And that's what actually would generate more revenue more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And we're almost ready. We're almost ready.
Almost there.
Yeah.
If you were to pick out one of your life achievements, something that you did, especially work-related, I mean, there are probably a lot of personal ones, but a work-related achievement in your life where you would say this is, to date, my biggest achievement that I have.
Yeah, it's tough to say. Not because I have a lot. Because I tend to diminish them.
To downplay them.
Yeah. But, you know, like some people told me, like, you can actually be proud of that.
Yeah.
And I guess I am. This is the, you know, the machine learning community at the European Central Bank is actually gathering all the European banks,
mm-hmm.
big banks. In the beginning, it was just central banks, but then it became the big banks and anyone who's interested actually in that because everybody saw so much value in conversing about those new technologies. And not just that, and then discovering other things thanks to that conversation.
Mm.
And I guess I'm super proud of that because the director of Isoc also told me, like, that's why I would hire you again. And this why this thing is, I said, I'm trying not to be necessary. Mm. So, and this community is an example of, I built it up to 250 people. Today, it's about 700.
Wow.
But I gave it away. So I'm like, I dispatched the coordination to other people trying to, you know, onboard them in several months to do those things and the style of it, you know, because mm-hmm. you have to be very human when you do those things. When people think bank, communities, like very tailored. No. It's you have to be very human. So you have to be actually very formal in being human. And yeah. So I'm proud of that. The other thing I'm super proud also is, you know, the work around open source. I had the chance to be a co-contributor at the Libre Space Foundation, and I had the chance to mentor different students
mm-hmm.
who inspired other students as well in AI for operations and, you know, from different places, you know, Argentina, India as well. And I have one who is like, we're still in touch. He's working at ISRO, which is the Indian Space Agency. And I can't wait that he works for my own startup. Amazing. But yeah, that's the other thing.
I mean, just listening to all of that, I can definitely say it's very impressive what you did, and you can be proud of it. Because I definitely relate to the feeling of not being able to be proud of anything you've achieved, because you always see it very subjectively.
Exactly.
And it's hard to get any objective view on what you've been doing, because you also tend to see your mistakes more than the things you've actually achieved.
Yeah.
Especially in the big achievements, you're like, okay, yeah, but I did this wrong in this, and this didn't work that well, and I did this. I think it's always good to have a person from the outside giving you an objective view on your life and your achievements.
Appreciating what you're not.
Exactly. Right? And saying, hey, you can appreciate and you can be proud and you can say that you did well on that.
Yeah, let's say it in a positive way. You're appreciating the way you can improve.
Yeah.
But you're only doing that.
So I saw the mistake there and I can improve on that.
Exactly.
But you did this right. Yeah, no, whatever. I don't care about that. We always have to talk a little bit about sustainability, especially in IT and AI. It takes a lot of, you know, stuff to make that work. It's a big, big thing. What are you doing to be more sustainable? What is your take on this? What are you trying to do to help the world a little bit more in that?
It's a multi-domain issue. Also multidisciplinary, you have to understand a lot of things, you know, like whenever you're thinking, how am I more sustainable? You have to understand the physics of things immediately. You know, it's like, what's your impact on the environment? So are you creating heat in your offices, unnecessary electricity usage and those kind of things? So you have to understand what's, you know, joules and you know, energy, etc. And then you have to understand the things that actually do those consumptions. So sometimes it's just hardware, sometimes it's a way of doing things, or it's a governance issue. So meaning you're telling people to come at that time, but that's impossible, and it's generating a lot of issues and consumptions. And also it's software.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I see a lot of people that I don't really realize, but that the impact you can have with software is huge, because everything depends on software. So every time you're providing a service where you're going to have a click somewhere or something like that, then the thousands of people are going to do that. Mm-hmm. So if your software can be a little optimized, it's 1,000 times an effect, you know? So that's huge. So we're trying to do, you know, like with our cloud offering, we have built servers that actually system on those servers that is very low level energy consumption. So we're reducing the stacks, tech stacks that actually need to provide the same services as AWS or Google Cloud, for instance, or Azure. And by doing that, we actually reduce by, we still have to really measure that, but reduce by several factors, the consumption of energy on the servers. If I just count on tech stacks, we reduce seven of them. So, and we just have a certain number, I cannot say. But then the thing is that by doing that smartly, we are actually more efficient. So meaning performance increased. That's the crazy thing. So, but, you know, in terms of the whole company, like doing an impact, is actually we're trying to be very smart on how we use whatever we have as a service. Mm-hmm. We have emails. We actually don't use emails. So we have a distributed chat system. We have everything there. We're trying to capture knowledge in a way which is machine readable so that we can automate things around that. And every time we're doing something, we're trying to think automate first, you know, so that it doesn't go haywire. It's like, and everybody says, there is a process for that. It's, you know, you have to talk to that guy or that woman. Then you don't know the process. No, I don't. That's an issue. You know, it's like I want everybody like to engage in it.
To understand.
Yeah, to understand.
And yeah, because it's always harder to explain something later than just immediately be like, okay, we're going to implement that and this is how it works. And do you have any special examples or projects regarding sustainability? I mean, you talked a little bit about automation stuff, but is there something else?
The Space Owl project is pretty much like sustainable orbit management. Mm. So we actually want to launch a series of events which are called like New SOM, you know, S-O-M for sustainable orbit management, but it's also related to some, like in zero-sum games, you know, like, so whenever people are making a startup, they're thinking zero-sum games, meaning how can I dominate the market? Mm. We're trying to have a different approach, which is like much more sustainable. How do we join a market and transform it so that it becomes regenerative, you know, so that we actually disrupt it a bit so that everybody has an impact, not just us. So that's the thing. And our impact is the having everybody have an impact, okay? But I don't think it counts in ESG reports. Anyway, it counts for me.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah, right. But, you know, I've been reading for the green IT directives from Europe and things are very smartly written. So it's actually there are good directions in that way. But to come back to space though, so the thing is that, as I told you in the beginning, do we need to send so many spacecraft?
You know,
do people want to go like overcrowded space somehow? So for now, we have more than 50,000 tracked objects, not just satellites, small debris to, you know, pieces of rockets and stuff like that, that enter the categories of debris at some point. Mm. But the thing is that 50,000, it's three times less than the Kessler syndrome would have predicted today. Kessler syndrome is the chain effect of things colliding, generating debris that would collide again, generate more debris, and then you can't see the sun anymore.
Honestly, overcrowding an infinite space is very impressive.
Yeah, right?
That's honestly very impressive.
Let's say it's the finite space of the orbit, you know?
Yeah.
At some point, like 2,000 kilometers.
You already said something about we're getting closer to the moon and to going on the moon again, maybe. Do you want to say a little bit about that?
You know, it's going so fast that I'm actually losing track. You know, like I'm on sometimes on Twitter, I see, new moon landing, which crashed. Like, when did they launch? You know, it's like, nobody's telling me. Of course, you have to keep abreast on those things. It's it's going faster. I guess in 2017, there was the Google Lunar X Prize, which wasn't an explicit success, meaning that they didn't fund one company that went on the moon, and the game was to record the video, send it back to Earth. When you just do that, there's plenty of things like in terms of supply chain of all the telecom and everything that is involved that you have to solve, et cetera, et cetera. So it was a good design by the Google Lunar X Prize team. But the thing is that nobody went to the moon at this moment.
Yeah.
Okay. But you had a startup in the US, Astrobotics, which started. You had Tim Indus in India. You had PT Scientist, which was a part-time scientist. Now it's Planetary Transportation System. It launched a lot of initiatives, inspired a lot of others. Then you had the PLD Space in Spain, which is like a small launchers to launch small stuff. So we started to have European launchers. Yeah. I mean, it's good to build independence on those things because that's also like, I mean, to me, like if you want to keep peace around, you have to keep this independence so that everybody can rely on each other and have to at some point. But yeah, so the moon, yeah, there are many things happening. You have the Artemis Accords from the US, which are non-liable, so meaning that users decide to sign them, pure diplomatic reasons, I would say. But the game is they're trying to change the how you can make business with that. Okay, they're trying to allow the US companies to make business with the moon somehow, which is...
put ads on the moon.
Yeah, right. You don't know
big
how.
Big billboards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you have the Outer Space Treaty from 1967, if I'm correct, where they said, like, you cannot own anything from space.
Yeah.
All right?
Good idea.
Yeah, good idea. So how do you sell a piece of asteroid that you mined?
Yeah.
You know? And you have so many startups, like, doing asteroid mining, moon mining, or, you know, resource
let's destroy
and,
another thing.
Yeah, I mean, when you think about it, you need those resources, you know, like for science you need resources, for anything you need resources, so for growing the humanity eventually you need another planet.
Honestly.
Maybe, I don't know. So until you come to those kind of worrying facts, we have to reduce population, you know. Sometimes you have the population reducer that says we have to slow down, and they have 5 kids. So I'm like, well, your kids are my kids.
Yeah, sure.
And they're like, no, that's not what I mean. It's like, that's exactly what you meant.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind
of
scary.
I think that's a morally
super
difficult topic.
Super difficult.
In general, yeah. It's hard. Especially if you see countries like China, for example, actually having less people, and Germany kind of struggling with the few people that we have, that people only have like one child.
Yeah.
It's very kind of, we're just thinking about our own country vibe and not just the whole world.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And I like the Estonian approach, you know, like, you know, the e-residency thing. Anywhere in the world, you could open a company in Estonia almost. And the thing is that they want to reach like 10 million e-resident. So 10 million companies, while there are like 2 million or 1 million in Estonia. So it's actually a good deal for the country. You know, like, tax generation around that is good. I mean, when I was at the bank, I started to think about, oh, okay, what my company is going to be. And then I started to think about countries as companies. When you think about it, that is what it is. You know, like, people are attached emotionally to the country. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's a tradition and things like that. So my parents came from another country to France, and there was like this kind of latent racism and things like that. So I felt more like a Earth citizen than anything else.
Yeah.
Okay. But I guess it pushed me to that perspective that you could actually join another country. Why not? You know, it's like you can get a passport if you fill up some checkboxes eventually, you know, those kind of things. And why? Because for the country, it's valuable. You have skills, you're going to generate revenue, therefore taxes. It's valuable economically. Yeah. So when you think about Germany as a company, then why don't they hire Chinese? You know, like, as you said, like thinking globally, like...
This is also just so much to think about, the whole world thing, and also like borders and what do they actually mean. And there's a lot of, you know, topics about that. But if a person, you know, listens to this podcast right now and is like, oh my God, parametry sounds awesome. Sounds great. I really want to be part of that. Or I really want to help Red. I really want to contribute in any way. How can they do that?
Yeah, right. So I tried hiring in the beginning. Anyway, the first step is really like connect with me. So Red Boomgar, you find me on LinkedIn. The website is parametry.ai. You can find my profile. Click on the LinkedIn
Definitely
thing.
Definitely linked all down below for you guys.
Up there.
Up there, yeah,
hopefully
exactly.
It's not the video.
Like old YouTube days, you just have to click the info button or something and you get,
That was funny. But then I was really questioning the hiring process. So in terms of what does it mean actually? So we're on the table right now. I have a list of questions. I would share them with you openly beforehand. So it's kind of saying, okay, now try to fool me.
Try to make me hire you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. So, and you can get fooled, you know, in those kinds of things. So, but then came the more like technical challenges. So seeing like without a computer, without a phone, like how can you answer those things? So, or others with actually the internet, like, how do you help yourself to solve things? You know, that's the most important thing. So I'm actually looking for people like willing to learn. What does that mean? It means like your brain is still like wired to know more.
To be open to things.
To be open, exactly. So that's super important. And also like the, you know, I mentored a lot of students and also like women in tech. It's super interesting. And the thing is that there are various different profiles and I would separate them from those who cannot help themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's hard. They have to learn how to help themselves. While others are like very like tinkering with stuff and they're just trying, you know, trying make errors fast so you can actually learn and actually use the internet correctly. You know? Now there's ChatGPT. So people have had this kind of new wave of having an input field and entering text and getting an answer. But, you know, pretty much when I see people using that prompt, it's pretty much a search engine.
Exactly. You also have to know what to ask, what to write. I think that's also a skill that you have to kind of acquire. And if you see people just writing random stuff, that doesn't make any sense. And the search engine or the AI not giving you the answer that you want, then maybe it's you that didn't ask the right question and you have to start again.
Exactly. So in IT, you know, like if you're programming, developing, and you have errors on your program, you actually can evaluate yourself, like if you know what this error means and you find quick where in the code or the problem is, because you actually did incremental changes, you didn't change a lot of things, you know exactly why this is, you're becoming good, you know, like, and that's the thing. But in order to reach that point, you need to search all the errors first, you know, search. And now you have Stack Overflow. When you were at that time, you didn't have Stack Overflow. So, and that's the best resource ever. So, because those answers are rated, et cetera, et cetera. And then you build the knowledge like that bit by bit, you know, sort of thing. So I try to change my perspective on hiring. So meaning I'm not hiring, I'm engaging people. So that's why we have also open source projects. So meaning that you're welcome to just today, right now, like just come and contribute, participate. Yeah. You have to be a little bit like self-motivated and guiding yourself, but I'll be there to mentor you on the rest of things because that's my gratitude, you know, vis-a-vis that gesture. And then, you know, once you know the project, you know what we're doing, that you actually decide. Because my goal as a CEO is like to make things so that this is possible. So that you say, I want to work with you and now you're hired. That's the thing.
To be conscious to say, okay, I really want to do this consciously and I'm not just doing it because it's an opportunity that arises, but it is something that I want to do. Your project is part of an NGO, if I heard correctly. So people can probably donate too as well.
Exactly, So Space.org is a project of the Cosmos for Humanity. You would find it on cosmosforhumanity.org. You can donate. They are changing the website right now. So it's it's actually as young as Space.org as a project. I found them like totally randomly. And this is possible to give to them. So just talk to me. I'm a Cosmos Ranger for that NGO, trying to clarify how this is possible. But this will be possible in next weeks, I would say.
How is it like to work at your startup? Because I think when people hear startup, they have a lot of thoughts coming into their head, like how it is to work there. And, you know, I know.
Like rooftop garden.
Exactly. Having a pool table and just, you know, doing. How is it to actually work?
It's hard.
You?
It's hard work. You know, like.
It's hard work.
No, I guess we would say like I'm super nice. I'm trying to. You know, whenever you start to work, I'm like, what do you want to learn? Like, I don't want this to be unuseful to you. The thing, I don't believe like people are going to work in that company for 30 years. Unless that's wonderful, you know. But the game is that you acquire what you need to acquire here, giving up, also giving away things that you need to give to that entity to grow so that there's a win-win exchange. And then eventually you stay there, you know. It's like you own your own projects and those kind of things. I'm really trying to have an holocratic distribution of work. And then or you go to another company, you know, you go to Google, you know, to wherever.
Wherever you want,
But it's definitely, as I said, like self-motivated. You have to work as much as you can on the things that you need to learn and then apply them. You know, that's the thing. There's always things to do. That's the thing.
So. And I hear that, like I hear out of what you're saying that it's probably very individual. Like there's not just one, like a job is, this is what you have to do and anyone can, like you can mold your job maybe to what you are, who you are, what you want to do.
You know, for me, it's fine. Also, like working in terms of business and everything, like, we have unlimited holidays or those kind of things. It's up to you. I've studied like LinkedIn. They actually did like unlimited holidays. I wasn't working. Mm-hmm. People weren't taking holidays. And why? Because they were looking at each other. You know, the culture is super important.
Yeah.
I guess you're taking holidays because you need to rest. You need to, the things that you did are working. Everybody's responsible of their tasks. So yeah. When you go on holidays, you actually have to switch them to somebody else and those kind of things. But in LinkedIn, they weren't doing that. So they were looking everybody in the eyes like, did you take a day today? Why? It was very weird. So they actually went back to 25 days obligatory.
Yeah.
And that was kind of weird. So it goes all with culture. So I'm trying to work with open-minded people mm-hmm. and discussing with them. I'm not deciding alone. I'm the CEO, but doesn't mean anything. You know, like managing a team and facilitator of the team. You know, that's pretty much what I am.
It's kind of working together on a big project.
Yeah, exactly.
And being a team, which is also very important, because I think there are also a lot of companies where they try to be a team and they try to, you know, preach this team spirit, but you're in the end really just working on your own projects for yourself. And I think this team thing is very important and good to have.
Yeah, maybe the team spirit stops at the end of the laser tag.
Oh my God, I've never played laser tag. I really want to do that.
Call me.
We should play laser tag together.
Yeah. But anyway, we have super exciting projects. I mean, SpaceDAO, it's really like worldwide collaboration around space traffic. It's amazing. We have, I will say the name because I guess it will be already online, Celestical.net. That's the name of our cloud. Celestial for space, Analytical, you know, for AI. So Celestical.net, that's our green IT cloud. Mm-hmm. And that's also like, I mean, you'll see in the backstage, that's kind of crazy. So
yeah,
we want to engage with projects who want to be hosted on a really like sustainable platform. And they're actually making an effort for that. That's cool.
So if you want to change the world, this is a place to do it.
Hopefully, yeah. There are many places. I'm trying to be one.
Yeah, this is one of the places where you can contribute and change the world. If there are people right now that are like, okay, maybe I'm interested, but I'm maybe not that much of a space person. Like, I've never really been interested in space. How do I really get into it? What are the resources to look for if you want to learn more about space?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, like, just for us, you know, in the SpaceDAO project, half of the people are space lawyers.
Oh.
So, and I guess that's the most sexy job right now.
It's, that's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, and we discussed, you know, asteroids and, you know, resources sharing, those kind of things. Like, this is Wild West. You know, we have to set up the rules for that. So the treaty is just direction. We have to be more clear on how we do things. The Artemis Accords are an inspiration, but they haven't been built together. Mm-hmm. So we need to build something more together. So instead of imposing some rules that may end up as laws, global laws. So I guess space is multidisciplinary. So whatever you do, even if you're a cook, that can work. So I guess the European Space Agency has a very nice website where you can find vacancies, and you will see like the diversity of the vacancies. Super interesting. For young professionals, you have a super program, which is called the Young Graduate Trainee. Mm-hmm. So you can be a trainee, a young graduate. You actually stay 1 year at ESA in one of the six main centers. And you could be in Netherlands, here in Darmstadt or in Spain. Depends what you want to do. But have a look at ESA.int. And that's a good website for all of you Europeans.
For all you want to know. Let's kind of wrap this up a bit and talk about you again and your favorite podcasts. Do you have favorite podcasts? Do you listen to any podcast? If not, don't worry. You can just tell us about your favorite video game.
Okay, a podcast is hard to say, and I'm really like a hopper. So I jump from a podcast to another. It's really like I'm focused on the topics. I really like the DAO-oriented podcast, but they stopped a bit. You know, it was really like 21, 22. They were like really good. But now it's hard to find good quality podcasts. And I don't know. So if you know, like just ping me. That would be grateful. So the blockchain podcasts were interesting in the beginning. Some IT podcasts I watched, but one of my favorites is Lex Fridman. Mm-hmm. They're actually long podcasts, but they're very good questions. And the guy is smart and pushing the borders of what's, you know, we usually ask us questions.
Yeah, what's appropriate and stuff. Yeah, I think we definitely need to talk more about things we don't talk about.
Exactly. So there's this theory, which is called the triple con. In French, it's like triple stupid. So the lack, and I hope I remember, the lack of confrontation, you know, lack of having this like a little eventual tension or conflict. But if you're open-minded, you know it's useful.
Yeah.
Will lead to a lack of consensus. Yeah, and that's the second C-O-N, which leads to real confusion.
Mm.
That's a real problem. And actually, in institutions where groups don't speak to each other, that's really, you can see that happening. I just can give a little example of a really big bank I used to work with. I won't cite the name. They had this funny P word. They said, we don't say the P word. It's like, well, what's the P word? Tell me. Process. It's like, I love processes. You know, like part of me is an engineer. If you have a process, it's very secure. You know, you just have to follow it. Step one, step two, step three, etc. And everybody can do that. It's very open in the end, right? But actually, I realized that. So what's the process? And I kept asking people. It's like, actually, the answer behind the answer was like, I don't know. That's why you don't like the process. It's
like, I don't understand.
Yeah, right. So, and actually, the lack of there was a real confusion in thinking there were processes. And because we didn't have confrontation, like the one guy I was asking, like, where's the process actually? Confronting everybody. There is a process, but okay, where is it? There was no way.
No process to be found.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't remember your initial question actually, but.
Your favorite podcast or video game, because we talked about video games.
So not too much podcast, but video games. I'm a big fan, you know, I'm a big fan of video games. Actually, I like, this is a war video game, but I actually like the strategy and collaboration part of it, which is called Wildlands.
Mm-hmm.
At some point it becomes, I don't know, you know, I would say realistic, but I don't know actually. But the thing is that you can die very quickly if you're not careful. You know?
Yeah.
It's a game where it's not like Fortnite where you jump everywhere, you can win. This one, if you jump everywhere, you just die.
Die. Instantly.
So, and I like this, you know, it's like, and the funny social aspect of it is like, well, you connect online, you make a team of four with random people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fantastic to find, you know, US people, Spanish, or whoever is playing Japanese. You see the different cultural aspects, you know, they all do the same wherever they are. But depending on the age, they actually act differently.
That was funny. That's interesting. Yeah.
And you can see this one like is 12. This one is 12, I'm sure.
That's so cool. Yeah, strategy stuff is really fun. I think it can be very frustrating, but it's really fun if you get the strategy right.
Yeah, right. It takes a long time. You need patient people, but that the glory is so big. You
know, yeah.
It's like, wow,
it's so good
it.
If it like, works. Yeah.
We consumed 2 bullets and we made it.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Is there anything you want to tell our audience before we leave? Anything uplifting, anything inspiring, anything?
Yeah, I guess just don't work for the money. You know, it's like, it's easy to say, I must say, but, you know, I'm living a difficult moment in my life where I'm just not working for the money. It's hard. Okay. But, you know, you can have a good, decent job, but you didn't choose it for the money. You know, like it's all the thing. When I work in institutions like the European Space Agency, European Central Bank, I felt like I had a duty with respect to the European people and even the whole world. So, and if you work in those institutions, please have those kind of duty. And wherever you are, you have some kind of a duty. You know, it's like the one thing is that we talked about countries as companies. Mm-hmm. Like the countries actually funded your studies, you know, in the end.
Yeah.
Who funded your studies? So actually everybody else, because they paid taxes for that, right? For the universities to exist, etc. You have a duty to say what you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to share your knowledge. And it's hard because in institutions sometimes you're a young professional and you're not really asked your opinion. So you have to actually learn how to speak in public, speak in teams. That's not communication skills, that not things that we actually learn at school, obviously. But you need to learn about empathy and how to, you know, connect with people and then share what you know.
Thank you so much for this wonderful ending. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Leonie. Thanks so much.
It was so much fun.
Thanks for the whole team.
And if you liked the episode, please give us a rating on Apple Podcasts or whatever, wherever. Spotify too. You can obviously subscribe if you want anyone in our podcast that we haven't had here yet, or maybe someone again. Just tell us, write us an email or tell us on social media. And that is all for today. We see each other. Right? We see each other next time.
Thank you.
Until then. Bye.
Bye.
ITCS, Pizza Time Podcast.